Hello, everybody. I don't think Christmas is Wednesday this year. I think it's what? Thursday? Wednesday or Thursday? Either
soon.
Way.
That's all I know.
Soon. One of recording, it's next
Thursday.
Week.
So, yeah, 9 days away.
All right, so there you go. Happy Thursday and Merry Christmas for our friends and listeners who celebrate, and happy holidays and a restful winter break for those who do not. We have dropped in with us on our special holiday episode, I guess we're going to call it that. I've got Jared here, as you guys hear. And we've decided, you know what? December has always been kind of a very interesting month for Pocket Aces Racing. So we're going to take a small trip down memory lane for December action for the Syndicate. And I might chat a little bit about my lovely abbreviated holiday plans or with whatever my foot allows me. But before we do that, hi, Jared. Welcome in, and thanks for dropping in for this holiday episode.
Well, thank you for getting it all together, and in betwixt all of the planning and shopping and cooking and all those things that go on this holiday season for so many people.
Yeah, I sent you. You texted me something, and I was like, "Look, I'm elbow deep in flour. I'm prepping for pierogi. It's gotta wait." So
yes, that's right.
And that's not even the first time I told that to somebody either. And you took it better than a lot of people, because most people are like, wait, it takes that much flour? I'm like, what exactly do you think pierogi is?
Pasta and potatoes. So, I mean, come on. That's no easy task.
It's God's favorite carbo load. That's what it is. So, as I mentioned, it is... the month of December has been very interesting for Pocket Aces. I came on in 2017, so a lot of my memories for the Syndicate are kind of that way forward. So if you kind of remember anything earlier on, please feel free to share. But other than that, I mean, I think we've had some, you know, this year we've only had one start, and that was Snowdrift. And we learned that Snowdrift is not a synthetic track horse.
Not a fan.
Not a fan at all. But in years prior, like, we've had some very interesting races. Do you have anything that you want to start with off the top of your head, or are we just going to bounce into kind of wherever the flow of the episode takes us?
Yeah, I just pulled up. You mentioned this as an episode topic, and, you know, there's one race in particular that came to my mind right out of the gate, and then a couple others as I thought about it. So I just went back and pulled all the stats and all the wins that we have had in December over the years. And the very first one was in the early days, and that was in December of 2007 with the Victory Morning. And I had forgotten that this was that time of year. It was the first time we really got to stretch her out, because we always thought the, you know, going long would be a good move with her, but you know, she was based at Charlestown Races and Slots, and they don't run a whole lot of races more than 7 furlongs, but they do on occasion. And so she ran 9 furlongs for the first time in her career. It was over a gross, nasty, I still remember, I mean, there's so much water on that track. And and she went off. She was not the favorite by any stretch of the imagination. I think she's like 10-1. And she won that race just easy as could be. But that was her last race with us. She did get claimed out of that race, and then went on to she got retired out of that race to go to the Breeding Shed. So that was our first December victory, and then it went all the way back. And this was the next race that I thought about, was Aces High in 2014, and you know, he was making his 11th start. And
on the year,
11th start of his career, and had not yet broken his maiden.
That sounds familiar. We've had a few of those.
We were down at the fairgrounds. It was the day after Christmas, in December. So December 26, 2014, running in a maiden special weight, and I believe Miguel Mena was up for the ride, and he won. Gosh, I need to pull up that chart, because it was probably 20 lengths. You know, he had worked, or, you know, had been trying so hard to find that maiden win for him. And yeah, he'd run plenty of times at fairgrounds before and it hadn't worked out, but this is a maiden special weight at the fairgrounds. And let me pull up that chart here. 2014. Come on, webpage. There we go.
Yeah, it feels like Miguel Mena had been aboard a lot of our kind of, not like shocking wins, but wins where you're like, wow, I didn't expect that effort.
No, the chart is not popping up here for some reason. So let me go to Equibase and find it in Equibase. Yeah, Miguel used to ride quite a bit for us. He was a very successful rider here on the Kentucky circuit, and he rode a lot for us. Spent the winters at the fairgrounds, which is what we did. And he ended up riding for us quite a bit. So this is, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Sorry, this is his 10th race. 10th race of Aces High's career. Chart. Yeah, Miguel Mena was up, and he won by 15 lengths. And yeah, that was Steve Margolis training for us at the time. And just an absolute dominating performance. And from there he went on and had a very, very nice career for us. He ran third his next out, second his next out, then two out at both of those fairgrounds. Then he goes to Oaklawn and wins an allowance there at Oaklawn and, front-running fashion. That win at Fairgrounds, the 15 link, that was his first triple-digit Equibase speed figure number. He went on that those through his career, but that was just that's always a on occasion when I'm sitting up late at night on a Friday or Saturday night and I've had a couple bourbons, I might go back and watch old races, and that's one I always like to go back and watch. Yeah. It's always fun to relive. The next one, and this is one that I also thought of immediately, was in 2016, and that was Sergio's Pride. And he was coming off of an injury, and this was his first start back for us, I believe. And he won on the 29th of December. And I think the previous year, so 2015, we had won 8 races. That was the most that we'd won. Of course, this is when we had many fewer horses than what we have at any time right now. And that, so 2015 was our record-breaking 8th win. And in 2016, on this was going to be our last race of the year, and we had 7 wins. We were sitting on 7 wins. And Mark and I both really, really, really wanted to get that 8th win to, not take a step back and get at least as many as we'd gotten the previous year. And he won there on the 29th and sent us into 2017 with a W. So that was nice. And Sergio's Pride, he was the one we claimed out of the fairgrounds. And, he ended up, Steve Margolis claimed him for us, and he ended up finally with Susan their Turfway in Belterra Park, and he really, really liked that artificial surface this was the old artificial surface at Turfway Park, and won several times there. I think this was the only time he ever won going 5 furlongs that I can remember. He was usually a little bit better if we could get him going 6.5 and 7. That was that seemed to be his bread and butter.
Yeah.
And then we went kind of on a little run there, and this is one that did not spring to mind right away. 19th Street, December 20th in 2017. The next year, she wins an allowance option at the fairgrounds. Conjuring in 2018, and Kate's Golden Dude. So Conjuring went up to Mahoning Valley, my least favorite track in this side of the country, I think. It's a great track. It gives an opportunity for winter racing for maybe some of your less talented horses that can't compete in Kentucky and for your Ohiobreds. But man, that track is tricky. It's heavy. It's deep, especially the colder it gets. They put more sand into it to try to keep it from freezing up, and it just gets heavier and deeper. But anyway, Conjuring won her one of her nine races up there. It's the only time she ever won up there. And then we had another win halfway through the month in with Kate's Golden Dude at Turfway Park. And Kate's Golden Dude still going, 10 years old, still.
Yeah.
So he won at the
at
Parks not that long ago. And, you know, we've been keeping a close eye on him since we lost him forever ago now.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the idea that if it ever looks like things are going the wrong way for him and we try to claim him for $5,000, but he's still winning for $5,000 up there. And so we just kind of, as long as he seems like he's healthy and he's running well and it seems like the new owners are taking good care of him and the new connections are taking good care of him, we'll let him keep doing what he wants to do. But as soon as things look like they're going to start going sideways, we're going to make sure we do our best to get him into, make sure he's into a good situation. And maybe the current owners are going to do that for him already. But we want to make sure that we're able to guarantee that best we can. So.
Well, and it's kind of like bystander effect. It's always good to have a plan of action just in case everyone else thinks the same thing.
Right.
So it's important. But, you know, when I get his results, like, I continue to be amazed by that horse. Like, when I get his results in my emails, and he's winning by, like, 5, 6, 7. Like, this is a horse that it's like, if we could put his picture under loves his job in the dictionary, that would be Kate's Golden Dude.
I'm going to pull up his lifetime stats here real quick because they're pretty impressive. And he's done it all the hard way. You know, he's done it running for 5,000, running for 10,000, running in starters. So he's run 76 times in his career. 22 wins, 11 seconds, 11 thirds, $377,000. This year alone, as a 10-year-old, he started 7 times. He's won 5 times. He's been second once, third once, and earned $67,000. He won last out on December 10th, earned a 94 Equibase speed figure. It was a 6.5 furlong race on the dirt. And won by a little over 5 lengths. And you're not the favorite. So it's just an incredible, it's a testament to him, a testament to all the connections that have had him over the years. He's bred by Midwest Thoroughbreds. He's a touch gold, 10-year-old gelding out of a Don't Get Mad mare. Names that you don't hear very often anymore.
Yeah.
Such a fun, cool, neat horse. So.
Well, if I remember correctly, Touch Gold... I mean, Touch Gold's kind of had not in a bad way reputation, but like they had kind of that under like little commentary where it's like Touch Golds tend to be tough as nails anyway, if I remember correctly. So,
and he is certainly a testament to that. So,
yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it's always nice to get an update on him and to see that he's doing well. But yeah, folks,
I had a partner reach out the other day. He said, "Do you realize he's still running?" And I said, "I absolutely do. He's still running and he's still killing it." So.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Trust us, folks. We're watching him. We're keeping very close eyes on him.
the next batch of December races were ones that that you said kind of jumped out at you. As part of the little run of races.
Yeah, so mine, I came on in like 2017, I think it's like September of 2017 or something like that. So mine, you know, my races are a little more going forward that I can recount where I see the results and I see the names. But for me, the first thing that stuck out for me, and I always come back to Temple City Terror, and Dave laughs at me because we always do that anyway. But for me, it was Temple City Terror was she started our two win streak in December. It was December 3rd at the fairgrounds, which we love fairgrounds. I've noticed that trend a lot. We love the fairgrounds. But she started it's actually like the back half of a 4 win streak that started the month prior in November with Cowboy Diplomacy and Wendy Lou Who. Cowboy Diplomacy at the beginning of November at Indiana Grand came first in allowance, and then Wendy Lou Who on the end of November over there at Mahoning Valley in the First Lady Stakes. If I remember this conversation with Susan correctly, Susan had mentioned that this was her first stakes win as the breeder on record for Wendy Lou Who. In the First Lady Stakes.
Now that filly mare, she loved that track. She's the only one we've ever had that just went up there and relished it single time.
She probably would have really liked. Because we have a few European listeners, and I see you guys, so we know you're here. But some of our European listeners might be. To kind of better explain to it, it's akin really to beach racing. That's how sandy that track is sometimes. It really does sometimes feel like it's beach racing. And I know some of our European folks who kind of have that experience will know what I'm talking about. But that's pretty similar to what that was. And then Temple City Terror started. She won an allowance at the fairgrounds, going 8.5 furlongs on the turf. And then First Contact, if you remember him, he won a maiden claimer the day after her, going 6 furlongs on December the 4th. And that was our string between November and December. So kind of like the back half of the year, that we had a string where we went 4 in a row.
And that with just wins. And that capped off 2020, which we had 17 wins and 80 starts that year. The highest number of wins, our best winning percentage since we graduated beyond more than two horses in the stable, and so that was a pretty exciting little year for us. The next one we had, Rogue Leader, won a maiden claiming race at Turfway Park. That was a New York bred we bought to run in New York, and just things never did quite work out for him up there. But he gave us, that was on New Year's Eve of 2021, giving us the 16th mm-hmm. win of the year. There in 2021, and then we didn't win any December races in 2022, but that was our biggest year in terms of earnings, at over $700,000 in earnings that year. But not much of it came in December. But then we got Wendy Lou Who again, bringing her back
at her beloved Mahoning
Mahoning Valley in 2023, and she actually got claimed out of that race for $25,000. Really surprised us, because claiming is so, it doesn't happen very often up there. But then we saw that she went into a claiming race a year or so later, following that, maybe a little bit more, for like $5,000 at I think Mountaineer or something. And so we call up and say, hey, well, why don't we just buy her from you? And you don't put her in that race. And because, we're always a little nervous about seeing our horses in claiming races and at some tracks, and that being one of them. And so we got her and got her back. And now she is, she's the lone member of the Broodmare band at the moment. But she's mm-hmm. So she's back in the fold. What a fun mare she was, or in filly she was. Ohio bred stakes winner, and just glad to have her back with Susan, and now going to be bred to Jonathan's Way. Susan also bred. So that's I'm pretty excited about that. I'm anxious to see how that all looks. And then our most recent December winner last year was Oscar Season, winning an allowance down at Gulfstream Park. Tyler Gaffleone aboard. That gave us the 10th win of last year. And that's where we are. Because we have won another. We have not won. We won a couple races, or we won some in November, but not. I don't think we won anything in December. Yeah. Right? Am I right?
Yep, I've been watching. I'm keeping tabs.
But we have a lot coming up before the end of the year, so we definitely have an opportunity to add to that number.
Yeah, because we even talked about when we would do our year in review, because we do that every year, and you told me, you're like, not until we know for sure. that the year is ending and that we cannot squeeze anybody else
in. Yeah, you know, we're recording this on the 16th, so by the time you guys listen to this and hear this, we'll have several other races that have run, but you know, we got one that's going to scratch. Unfortunately, he's got some skin, a little skin infection, a little dermatitis, and Silver Talisman. But you know, it's possible that he gets back in before the end of the year once we get that all cleared up. We've got Trillian Honor going to hopefully make her debut. I haven't checked the weather, so I'm not sure what the rain situation looks like down there. We've got Ace's Honor going to be running in a maiden special weight on Saturday, and TapCon making his debut. And then we've got three or four horses, I think, that we are looking at races for potentially on the 27th of December and after. So definitely have a chance to add some more December fun to that short list.
We might need to loop. Depending on how entries shake out, we might need to loop this New Year's Day into the year in review, because it probably would have, because those races probably would have run already by the time we get around to recording. So we'll have to loop it in if the entries shake out the way
editing. Editing.
Yes.
Make magic happen.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that technically is what the editing department's
That's
for.
Exactly right. They make or break. The editing makes and breaks all the stuff. The movies, the television, books, editing,
the podcasts.
Editing does it all.
Yep. So overall, since we are kind of coming up on the end of the year, and you know, obviously we had our Thanksgiving episode where people sent in what they were grateful for, you know, and just as on a, you know, even on the year and as a blanket statement, what they were grateful for. But looking back on the year that was 2025, now that we've kind of gotten here, and you can go into details in the year in review. I'm not going to ask you to detail it all now, right? Yeah. But looking back on the year in 2025, did it feel like... Because I know when we released our year in review for 2024, and then we kind of, you know, with Mark, and we had a chat on what we kind of expected from 2025. Looking back on that now, has 2025 kind of met your expectations? Was it a little less exciting than you'd hoped for? Did it exceed your expectations? What did you think of 2025? Looking back now,
You know, I hadn't put any thought into this yet, but just my quick reaction is, you know, thinking about some of the things that we spoke about, you know, around this time last year, and looking back at 2023 and looking ahead to 2020, or looking back at 2024 and ahead to 2025, you know, I would say that it has just played out much differently than we expected.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking a lot about the excitement we had around Misty Memories and Irish Aces and Oscar season and getting back to Kentucky Downs and having a huge Kentucky Downs. And you know, we talked about being excited about some of the 2-year-olds, but you know, things with injuries, and other issues, you know, maybe didn't play out, or definitely didn't play out like we thought they might for a few of those horses. But I would say that had you asked Mark and I if we would have 3 first time out 2-year-old winners this year, we would have looked at you and said, you're crazy. It happened. And we still have 2-year-olds to debut. We certainly didn't see a partnership with Winchell Thoroughbreds on the horizon when we were talking about this stuff this time last year. Mm-hmm. You know, that has not panned out as we had hoped just yet, but it's still, and I know people listen to this that are involved probably don't feel this way, because the excitement and the anticipation around that was so great at the time, but it's still very early, and you know, we're talking about 2-year-olds, one of which got a couple of them, you know, they got sidelined for this or that. And one is making his way back. One's about to make his debut. One has just been a head scratcher. He's been, you know, we knew he wasn't going to be a 5-6 furlong sprinter, but he's still struggled a little bit in the afternoons, but he's working like a maniac in the morning. And he's even got Steve Asmussen, the winningest trainer of all time, scratching his head a little bit like, what's going on? So, you know, it's still very early in this, in that partnership. Yeah. And I think there is still a lot of time for things to go very, very well. Of course, maybe it doesn't. You know, that's part of why we do this, because we just don't know. You know, so I wouldn't say that it's gone better. I wouldn't say that it's gone worse, but it has just gone very different.
Yeah.
So
that's fair. Yeah. Well, and I think it's always, and that's, you know, when you ask trainers about future targets, that's why a lot of people are very reticent to plan too far in advance, because they know that if something can hit the fan, it will.
Yeah, you know, we have people ask us all the time about, you know, what are we thinking, you know, 3 months down the road for this horse, that horse, or another horse? And I'm like, well, you know, we can think about all kinds of things, but it's just thoughts and it's just ideas, because the reality is everything in this game is day by day. Because one bad step, one fever, one this, one that, one skin infection, allergic reaction. I mean, there's just so many things, so many variables that are just completely out of our control, that planning beyond a couple weeks is difficult. No, it's just so difficult. Yeah.
Well, and prognostication is generally a ill-advised attempt in this industry, because like what you said, like it's not an easy industry to be in because of the unknown variables, and that's what happened. Like, this 2025 was just for me, just off the top of my head, was just a season of unexpected variables popping up when we least expected them.
Things that we've, you know, we talked about this before we started recording. You know, it's just we run into something new. We've been doing this for 20 years. Mark's been in this industry for 30 years, and we have run into so many things we've never had to deal with before have hit us this year. And it's just every time you think you've seen it all, there's something new, and you just, you learn to never say, well, now I've seen it all, because you haven't. They're going to come up with another way to make you scratch your head and say, huh, sure didn't expect that.
Yeah, that's unexpected.
And it could be for the good. It could be for the bad. It could just be just different, you know. So so it's difficult. I know our partners get frustrated when we have vague answers about what's coming up. But that's just the reality. Is we're just always struggling and grasping the uncertainty. So
yeah. Well, and that is the condition of working with living beings, the incapability of predicting, of accurately predicting how most things will go. That is the condition of working with living beings. And look, you know, to put a more controlled environment to example, look how many times, you know, for all the tune-ups and all the fixes and all the eyes that sit on some of these, as an example, Formula One or NASCAR machines, and stuff breaks and stuff happens, and it's controlled down to the last little bolt, and stuff still breaks. So the likelihood that a living being gets sick, has a bad day, you know, catches a skin infection, that's the nature of the beast.
Look at the Oscar season last time. I mean, he's however many races he's got under his belt, he's never once bled, and he bleeds a 4 out of 5 in his last race.
Yeah,
and you know, he just quit. Certainly you can't blame a horse for when you have blood coming out of your nostrils before he turned for home for not running. So, but he, you know, how many races into his career? That's never happened. It's never happened in the mornings. And something happened that day. Maybe it was something in the air down there. Maybe it was, maybe he had a bit of an infection brewing that we didn't know about. You know, we just don't know. And it's just, there's just so many variables, as I've said half a dozen times in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have really diverged here from our December memories and discussion.
Return. Shake the jingle bells. We're back in December. So to kind of get back onto that then, just as a little wrap, as we come to the end of the recording, what is the Clan Schumacher going to do for Christmas?
My family started years ago doing what they call a progressive, I guess anybody would call this a progressive dinner. So like a couple of days before Christmas, I think this year it's on the 22nd. We go to my sister's and we do appetizers and drinks and whatnot. And then we go to my very good friends of our family. They're essentially family. We do so much with them all the time. We're always together. We go to their place for dinner. And then we go to my parents for dessert. And then we usually end up here for I was going to say the younger crowd, but that just knocks out my parents and other parents, our family friends. And so the younger folks end up back here for game night and beverages. And so then we do Christmas Eve at my parents' house, and then Christmas Day with Scarlett's family. And that's about it for us. So.
Oh, so it's like the tour de Christmas celebration.
Christmas never stops.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like some of the best traditions, though, take more than one day to fully get to enjoy them. So it would be a shame to have to cram everybody into 2 days. So it's like, if you have the option, why not?
Christmas is easy for me because I do very, very little of the stuff. And I'm guessing that it is probably this way for most of the folks that are listening, at least the married folks. The wives do 95% of the work, and the men just show up and open presents and eat and are just as surprised as their kids are when the kids open their gifts to what the kids got. So all of the credit goes to Scarlett for getting, you know, and for leading the show on our Christmas festivities, because I basically just buy gifts for whoever she tells me she's struggling with and then go to the grocery store to get whatever she needs to cook. So it's all on her. It's all her. And thanks to her for doing it.
Well, at least we know you're good at taking directions.
Directions. I carry stuff up into the attic and get stuff down. I take down all the Christmas decor. Well, she takes it all down and puts it in boxes, then I carry it up into the attic. So, yeah, I know my role.
Yeah, no, my Christmas this year, admittedly, is going to be very muted, largely because I don't have the strength or the balance right now to get under my stairs and pull everything out, and it's a bummer, definitely, because my family, my parents are going to fly home to Poland to see people they haven't seen in a long time. My brother and his wife are obviously celebrating at home with my niece, due in late February, so she's just around the corner at this point, I think. And so I've just kind of I promise you, I'm not as upset as I sound. It's just I have been fighting a cold and I'm tired and I'm not sleeping, so I've had everything come at me at once. But I've kind of resigned myself to having just a very low key, very quiet Christmas. But I am Polish, you know. If we don't have enough food to feed a small army, it's not a Polish household. So there's the pierogi that I spent most of the day prepping for, and I've got all of my little side dishes, and I've got stuff set aside that, like, I know I can eat just by myself, and then that my dogs can eat as well. So I've got a whole separate stack of food just for them, because they always have a little something special on Christmas every year as well. And it's just going to be very quiet here at my house.
Sounds like a very restful day to me, and that doesn't sound so bad.
Well, and I mean, I've been honestly just burning the candle at both ends with kind of, and I'll talk about it a little later in the new year about kind of what's been going on, but I've been burning the candle at both ends, kind of preparing for that change in my life in the new year, and it definitely came back to bite me. It definitely came back when we were told to start taking our PTO at the TDN. I told the woman who does our scheduling, I told her, I was like, please, please just let me disassociate for 2.5 weeks. Just let me go. So that's what I've been doing. And it doesn't help that I can't sleep again, but I mean, that's my life at this point. You just gotta deal with what life throws
that's
at
right.
you.
Well, so glad you're on the mend and at least much improved from where you were.
Yeah, no, if I was still in the same place as I was back in September, I would probably be crying on this recording right now, because that was probably the most frustrating period of my life. But we've detailed that well in the last episode, if you wanna two episodes ago, if you guys wanna go listen to that. So but yeah, that's why we're here. I'm going to have a restful holiday. I'm gonna eat good food that I've prepared for myself in advance, and I think it's just gonna be a quiet holiday that I really needed.
Well, enjoy it to the fullest.
Thank you, thank you. And you as well. You and your clan of merry souls. Have a very Merry Christmas for me and my family, and have a good New Year as well, because we probably won't record before the New Year turns. I think the next drop after this will be the Year in Review, so have a very Merry Christmas, and have a very good New Year. I'm excited for 2026. We say it every year, but I think you have to have some That's optimism, exactly. So I'm excited for 2026.
Well, I hope you also have a very very Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. And again, as you let off the show, to everybody listening, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever the case may be for you, Happy Holidays. Enjoy it to the fullest, and take the time, if nothing else, to take a big deep breath, reflect, and recharge.
Yep, absolutely. So thank you, everybody, for joining us on our last episode of the year before the Year in Review drops on January 2nd, January 3rd, whenever we can get around to getting that done. But thank you, everybody, for another year. Thanks for your patience with us. We kind of had so much going on in the early part of the year that we kind of dropped the ball. But I don't know about Jared, but this is very relaxing for me to just come on here and chit-chat and talk to guests and interview folks. And so I'm looking forward to getting back to that as well. And we will see all of you in 2026, and make good choices, because the celebrations are coming. I know they are. So celebrate responsibly, make good choices, and we will see all of you in 2026.